I'm going to invite us to stand, and as we do that, our children need to be dismissed for children's church. Amen? Let's stand, let's bless our kids as they go on up, and we'll read the scripture together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be reading together verses 12 through 31. I know it's a lengthy passage, but it's important that we do this. So let's begin together. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And we'll continue. Has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those having information, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word, despite my confusion. You may be seated, and I'm going to ask Randy Denny to come and pray over the Word this morning.
Praise You, Lord, for this day. Just pray that You be with Pastor Tom, that Your Word would go forth, Lord, that You would be shown here in this congregation, that You would be lifted up. We love You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn in your Bibles, if you have not already, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to talk with us this morning about what we are. So many times we say, you know, I'm going to church. But the reality of it is that we are the church. Often we talk about ourselves as a church, and that may have different meanings to different people. And this morning, the imagery that we're using here, that Paul is presenting to us is the imagery of a body. And so, as we move into this morning, I'm laying this foundation. We began last week looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the foundation of love. And now we want to continue laying this foundation of understanding from the Scriptures about spiritual gifts and about our ministry as a whole. What we are about. What we are. So this morning, we want to talk for a few minutes about what we are. And again, I'm trying to answer specific questions along the way. And thank you for those of you who have written down questions or emailed me. And you can do that, or you can turn it into one of our elders or anyone really to get it to the leadership. And we will be glad to try and answer those questions. Or if you would like to speak with me personally or any of our elders, feel free to do that. I really don't bite very hard. I really don't. And I'd love to sit down if you have questions. I'd love to sit down with you, as many of you have already. And we appreciate that. We need to be in unity as a body. You see, as we understand this analogy that's in the Scripture, there is the inherent characteristic or nature of a human body that it is in unity. Your body has to work in unity. You ever get tongue-tied, as I do sometimes? You have a word in your brain that you want to get it out, and you're trying to get it, and your tongue is tied, and it just will not come out. And that's an example of the body not working in unity. Something's going on there, and for me, it's usually, you know, a brain drain, and the word just doesn't come out, and it seems to be happening more as I get older. But we need to be in unity, as the physical human body is in unity, so the body of Christ needs to be in unity as well. And I want to share with you that the leadership of this church, the eldership of this church, is in unity. That we are moving in God's Spirit and in direction that God wants us to move in. And we want all that God has for us. We want all that He has for us. And so we are asking Him, please, Lord, whatever You have for us, please, do it in our midst. Give it to us. Even if it makes us uncomfortable at times. You know that there was a lot of things that Jesus did that made people uncomfortable? I mean, there's times He blasted the Pharisees. I mean, He blasted them. You whitewash tombs. You thieves. You're like vipers. You know? Then there's other times when He's ministering to needy people. He spits on the ground and makes mud and rubs it on the guy's eyes. How's that for weird? I'm going to go to church and the Lord's going to rub dirt in my eyes to heal me. I mean, you know, the Scripture is full of weird stuff. Now, let me say quickly that, please forgive me, I'm struggling a little bit with my voice this morning. We don't do things to be weird. Understand, and I have said that for many, many years here at this church. We are not a church that wants to be weird. That's not our intention. Okay? But on the other hand, if God wants to do something in our midst, He has every right. It is His church. We are His church. And so we want to make room for Him to work. Now, as I'm going to say at the end of the service, at the end of the Scripture here, all things done decently in order. And so we're trying to figure that out along the way. And I want to say this as well. Folks, you have to trust us. You have to trust us as leadership. If you can't do that, then we don't have unity. You've got to trust us. We are seeking the Lord. We are asking the Lord to guide us. We are asking the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives. And you've got to trust us. We're not perfect. And when we make mistakes, we willingly admit that. And we diligently seek the Scriptures. And here's how I know that we are following God. Because the leadership is in unity. There is no disunity, there is no division amongst the leadership. And so please, we invite you to walk through this time with us, because I'm excited. I believe God is doing some awesome things in our midst. If we were to take time to give testimony, I believe we would be here all day long. And I know that y'all don't want to miss the Ravens game today with Joe Flacco. I was going to wear red this morning and really stir you all up. But just making sure you're awake this morning. So we don't, we're not talking about football. We don't want to quench God's Spirit. God is doing awesome things. And we have been praying years and years and years. Lord, have your way. Stir us up. Lord, stir up your people. Do what you need to do and must do in our lives. Because I tell you, some of us have been, you know, following the Lord for many years and not much has happened in our lives. I'm just being honest. You know, some of us have just been going through the motions for years. And, you know, God is not comfortable. He is not really concerned about your comfortableness. He really isn't. He's much more concerned about your spiritual growth, and He will do what He needs to do to get us to move forward. So let's look at this morning. I want to use the analogy that Paul uses, our bodies. Our physical human bodies. What happens if, you know, part of our body would give us discomfort? Let's say my hand all of a sudden starts giving me a great deal of discomfort. I know some of you all actually experience that. Some of you all get numbness and tingling in your hands and that kind of thing. And what if I were to decide, you know what? That is really bothering me. I'm going to cut it off. Thank you, dear brother. I appreciate that. I'm just going to cut that hand off. So I go out in the back of my house with a hatchet and put my hand down there. Bam! Hand's gone. I don't have any pain anymore in that hand, do I? Now I have pain in my wrist. Okay. You get my point. You know, you see those kinds of things. Jesus said something like that. He said, if your eye offends you, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Oh, Jesus, that's not very nice. He says it's better for you to go into heaven with one eye than to be cast into hell with two. And then he said something very similar. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to go into heaven with one hand than going to be cast into hell with two. And so the point that Jesus is making is, if there's anything that's causing you offense, causing you to sin, causing you to be hindered, then you need to deal with it. You need to get rid of it in your life. And you know, that's something that we don't want to do. We just don't want to deal with things in our life. You know, we have issues, and by the way, we have tissues for our issues here, all up front. There's tissues everywhere. But you know, we just don't want to deal with our issues. We don't want to deal with things. And things go on in our lives, year after year after year after year, and we don't deal with them. And then we wonder why the Lord has to take drastic measures sometimes to stir us up. The main point then is this, as in the physical human body, Christ's Spirit has made us, each one of us, those of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we've become Christ's followers, He has made each one of us a part of His body. Christ's Spirit has made us, each one of us, a part of His body. And God has given each one of us a special gift, a special function that is important for all the body. Christ's Spirit has made each one of us who know Christ a part of His body. How? Verse 13, He has, by the Spirit, has baptized us into one body. That is where, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, when we believe in Christ, He actually puts us, it's supernatural, it's spiritual, He puts us into the body of Christ. So He's made each one of us a part of the body. And then God has given each one of us a special gift, a special function. How? Through that indwelling Holy Spirit. We talked about this at the end of the service last week. And each one of us has a grace gift. It is the way that the grace of God, the grace of Christ, comes out of us and ministers to others. Now, you know, that's nice, and the Scripture lays that out so nicely. But here's the problem. We're all pretty weird. Isn't it true? I mean, we're all pretty weird. We're all pretty strange. We all have different personalities. We all have different quirks. We all have different pasts and backgrounds and baggage. And I mean, we are very, look at this congregation. We are very diverse in this congregation. Not just ethnically, but in so many, many ways. And Christ's Spirit has taken all of us and made us to be a body. And He has put His Spirit in us, and the Spirit His Spirit has allowed certain beautiful gifts and functions to come out of us weird people. Isn't that amazing? And that's how you know that it is of God, because I'll tell you what, man could not come up with this. What happens when man tries to put something together like this? You end up with cookie cutter Christians. You all have to be the same. Right? Everyone has to be the same. There's no freedom, because freedom means no control. And so you have to be the same. You have to wear your hair cut above your ears. And ladies, no more pants. And no more ear bobs. And don't you dare cut your hair. You gotta wear skirts and a head bonnet too. Everybody's gotta be the same. There's no freedom when man tries to control things. But in the Spirit of God, there's freedom. And He does a beautiful thing through us. And so, I do need to digress for just a moment as we talk about the Spirit of God making us a part of the body of Christ. And I said, He makes those who are disciples of Christ, Christ's followers. And so I have to ask the question, have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you become a Christ follower? Have you come to that place where you have understood that you are a sinner and that your sins have caused a barrier, a separation between you and God, and therefore you have needed to repent of your sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ, His finished work on the cross? Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you become a Christ follower? Do you understand that Jesus bore your sins, He bore all of our punishment, and He rose from the dead to give us new life? Have you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the first step. That's what has to happen in order for you to be a part of the body, for Christ's Spirit to make you a part of the body. Can we pause for just a moment and pray? Perhaps there are some of you here, you haven't yet done that, and we want to ask the Holy Spirit of God to move upon each one of our hearts. Lord Jesus, You said that You would send the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, and that He would lead us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, He also said that Your Holy Spirit will convict the world, all of us. He will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord, I ask that if there's anyone here who does not know You, has not started this faith walk with You, Lord, that You would draw their hearts, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, draw them as only You, the Spirit of God, can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me come back to the main point, as we have talked about this, that Christ's Spirit has made each one of us a part of the body here at Iron Alliance Church. Therefore, you and I have to be sure that God has joined you here to Iron Alliance Church. We have to be sure that God has joined you here to Iron Alliance Church. What I mean by that is, you cannot just come to Iron Alliance Church because you like it, because you think the music's good, because you think the preaching's okay. You can't come here for those kinds of reasons. You can't come because your grandmama comes. You can't come because your friend comes. You can't come for any other reason than the fact that God has led you and has confirmed to your heart that this is where you need to be. And here's why. Because when you start getting your spiritual toes stomped on, you'll be right out that door. Or something happens that you're not real comfortable with. Something happens that you don't understand, and maybe you don't even agree with it. You're going to be out the door. Because God has not joined you, heart, soul, mind, and spirit, to the leadership of this church. Now, again, we're not perfect, but we are seeking God for this congregation. You've got to know. I'll tell you why. Because we are a family. We are not just an organization. We're not here just to have a service on Sunday. Come and put your hour in, you know, on Sundays. That's not what we're about. Someone talked to me recently and they said, Pastor, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the length of the service. And I do want to hear you. And we try to be sensitive to the length of the service. We understand that there are nursery workers back there, and children's church workers are back there, and they have children's church, and we try to be sensitive to that. I've served in nursery in the past. I understand. But, you know, we meet together as the body of Christ, Island Lions Church. We meet together one time a week. One time. We have Wednesday prayer service, but only a handful of you come on out for that. We do have Bible study, and a good number of you all come out for that. But as far as church service, we meet once a week. And most of you don't come out to Sunday school. And so we're here from 10:15 to 12-ish. And you know, I'm not making any apologies for that. You know, I understand the Ravens are on. Last week they were on at 1 o'clock, and you all got to see them at 1 o'clock, didn't you? Unless you stopped for dinner. You know, so we try to be sensitive, but, you know, what's going to take priority in your life? Is 30 to 40 minutes, okay, 40 to 45 minutes in God's Word on one day a week, is that not a priority to us? You have to decide. If it's more important that you're out by 12 o'clock on the dot, you know, I'm not making any apologies for that. Sometimes we're going to go long because God is doing something. And here's the other thing. You know, if you're here grumbling and fussing because I've gone past 12 and God is doing a work in somebody's heart behind you or in front of you, what ought you be doing instead of fussing and grumbling? You ought to be praying for those people. Oh, God, please bring conviction upon the hearts of those people that need it. And again, if you're not joined to us in heart and soul, you won't be doing that. I'm trying not to be harsh. I'm trying to be gentle. But there's just some things that need to be said. We're a family. And when you're part of a family, when you're part of one another in a family, we belong to each other. And when a family has issues, you don't leave your family. You work through the issues. I had the privilege of going up to New Jersey, picked my brother up at the Philadelphia airport Friday night, and we went over to my parents' home, and yesterday we celebrated my father's 91st birthday. It was awesome. And a lot of the family joined together, my brother, my sister, and her family. We had a great time. But you know, about a year ago, maybe a little bit more, my sister and I had a misunderstanding. You know? We had a disagreement, and, you know, there were some hard feelings between us, and it was tough. It was tough. You know, we had to work through that, but I didn't say to her, and she didn't say to me, you know, I'm done with you, and because you've done this, and I don't agree with you, and you've hurt my feelings, and you've done this, and, you know, we could do that back and forth, or I'm done with you, I'm leaving you, forget it. I'm no longer your sister. No, we didn't do that. Why? Because we are family. We are joined to one another. And, you know, you can't leave your family. And that's why, again, you have to be joined to this family of God here. Because it takes time to work through things. It takes effort. And let's just be honest, most of us don't really like to do that. We'd rather run. We'd rather leave. But we work through it because we're a family. I hope that we will do this here as a family of believers. We will work through the things that God is doing, and maybe there's things you don't understand, maybe there's things you maybe don't even agree with. But you know what? If God has joined you here, you will walk together through this. And God will have His way. Let's break this down in the few minutes we have together. Number one. Just as the human body has diverse parts, which form one unit, so it is with Christ's body. We are diverse members with different gifts, but we are one. We are one. Boy, do we have diversity here, don't we? Y'all are very different. And I love it. I love the diversity that we have here. I just think God has done a beautiful and a wonderful thing. Well, we read in verse 12, as it is with the body, the physical body, so it is with the body of Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body and given that same Spirit to drink. It doesn't matter your race, your ethnicity, your background, your status. God has given you, if you know Him as your Savior, if you receive Christ, He has given you the same Spirit that I have, that you have, that we have. The same Spirit is in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you and me. That's a beautiful thing. And God's principle that we read here in the Scripture is this. His church, His body, is not uniformity. The principle of unity is not uniformity. We don't all have to be the same. We all don't have to think the same. We can have different views, but we have to have unity. Not uniformity, but unity within diversity. Some of y'all like country music. I don't really care for that too much. Some of y'all like honky-tonk. Some of y'all like jazz. Some of y'all like classical. And everything in between. It's okay. We try from time to time to have a little bit of variety. And that's a beautiful thing here at this church. But God's principle is that we have unity within the diversity that we have here. Verse 25, why? So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts have equal concern for each other. That's point number one. We, being diverse in this body, need to have equal concern for each other. Understand that you are important. And just because you're not like me doesn't make you any less important. Just because you may be different than anyone else doesn't make you any less important. You are important. So in order to accomplish a particular task, let's say in my body, right? My physical body. In order to accomplish a particular task, I know some of y'all have been painting lately. You've been painting rooms and redecorating, having that kind of fun. Let's say your body rebelled and all of a sudden you get that paint roller into the paint pan and you're about to put it on the wall and your hand says, I'm not doing this anymore. And you're like, you're trying to get that hand to do it. Yeah? And you put it on the other hand and then that hand says, I'm not doing it either. And you're stuck. See, the human body has to work in unity. Even though it's diverse, it has to work in unity. So it is with us. We must be working in unity in the body of Christ. Further, there's a further principle. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Dylan Glasgow is going to read that for us.
For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of you is one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Stay right there in that scripture, James. Notice that he puts things like encouragement and mercy right up there with leadership. See that? It's just as important. You know, it's not merely about the leaders in a church. It's about all of us to have all these diverse gifts, and every one of them is important. Furthermore, it says in this, we belong to each other. I believe it's back at verse 5. Jim, can you bring verse 5 up? So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to each other. We are a part of each other. Do you believe it? I mean, do you really? We say we believe it, but do we really believe it? We have to believe it in our heart and in our action and in our speech, in the way that we interact with one another. You know, it says we belong to each other. But how do we treat one another? How do we interact when we rub up against each other with those sharp burrs and cause each other some issues, some problems. How do we act towards one another? How do you act towards one another when you offend someone? Or they offend you? See, we say we believe it, but the proof is in how we live it out. And the Scripture is calling us to, God is calling us to, a new level of belonging in this body, of ministering to one another in this body. We need one another. We need one another. Number two, God has arranged the parts in our body. Watch this. He has arranged the parts in our body, just as in the Corinthians' body. He has arranged parts in our body just as He wants them. And we need each other, and we need each other's gifts. God has arranged it. Verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wants them to be. So it is in our body. That's why, as I said earlier, you need to know that God has joined you here. Not just because you like it here. And so we read further then in verse 21. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Oh, Pastor, we would never say that. We're not being honest. You know the attitudes we have sometimes. The attitudes is, you know, I don't really need you. I'm fine by myself. I mean, let's just be honest. That's the attitude sometimes we have with each other. I don't need you. And what we're saying is, I don't need you and I don't need the gifts you have. The gifts that God has given you, the gifts that the Holy Spirit has put into you so that Jesus' grace can come out and can minister to one another, I don't need that. Isn't that sad? I mean, we don't think of it that way, but what we're saying is, Jesus, I appreciate that you have put certain gifts in this particular person or that person over there. I appreciate, but I don't really need them. That's what we're saying. Right? That's what we're saying. Y'all gotten very quiet. But that's the truth, right? When we say that, when we have attitudes like that, we're saying, I don't need you. And I don't need the grace gift that God has given to you. Whatever it may be. We cannot say, I don't need you. We all need one another. We belong to each other. And we need each other's gifts. Number three. We started on this part last week. And we're going to go a little bit deeper in this. What are spiritual gifts? And I've probably missed some scripture readings here, maybe. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. I would like to read that. And I skipped somewhere. I can't quite make it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. Kim Foley is going to read that for us.
Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines.
Amen. Thank you. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them as He determines. So, I need to say something very firmly but gently. If you are having an issue with somebody's gift, your issue is really with the Holy Spirit. You understand? He's the one who has given those gifts out. He's the one that determines it. He gives it out. And so your issue is not with me. It's not with the person. The Holy Spirit of God has given these gifts out, and so your issue is with them. And you know what? You can leave this congregation, and you can go wherever you'd like, but guess what? That issue, God is not going to leave you to not deal with that issue. It will follow you wherever you go. It will follow you until you deal with it. And here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have the attitude that is displayed here. God, I'm a part of this body, as my brothers and sisters are part of this body. We belong to each other, we need one another, and we need each other's gifts. And Lord, whatever you have been pleased to put into my brothers or sisters as a gift for the good of the body, then I thank you, and I willingly receive and open myself for what you have. I know that is hard at times. I'm not dismissing that it's a struggle. But that's the attitude we have to have first and foremost. Because, you see, there are some very different spiritual gifts that are listed here. Very different gifts. Some of them are, I mean, let's just be honest, they're kind of bizarre. They're kind of weird. They weird you out. Because we're not used to them. We're not used to seeing the Spirit of God move and work in certain particular ways because, you know, maybe we just haven't seen it before. Or, you know, it's just not what we were expecting in church. I mean, I thought we were going to have a nice church service. We're going to sing three hymns. Pastor's going to give a nice message and we're going to go home. And I say, if that's all you want out of church, then you're at the wrong church. You're at the wrong church. We are not here to just put in a service. And we're not here to make each other comfortable. We are here for the Spirit of God to deal with our hard hearts, including mine, and break us into submission to His will so that He can do with us that He wants to, and we can get past ourselves and start focusing on those people around us that are hurting, need Jesus, and we need to get healed up so we can reach out to them. God has been bringing all kinds of people in here, and you know what? The issue that kills me is this. Some of us have been here not dealing with our issues for years. And the Spirit of God wants to, because other people are coming in and He's wanting to use you, my brother, my sister. He wants to use you to minister to them, but you're refusing. Because you're worried about your pride, you're worried about what people will think, you're saying, God, this is making me uncomfortable, I'm not going to be a part of it. I believe that breaks God's heart. I'm just being honest with you. I think it breaks God's heart that His people will not do what He wants them to do because they will not allow Him to have His way. Brother Les, I hope you don't mind me using you. I know you don't. Our brother Les went through a very difficult time last year. Very difficult time. He was battling with depression, despairing of life. And we ministered to him. And you know, God brought him through. Difficult time. We're not going to get all the details. But you know what? Our brother Les is a wounded warrior. He comes forward at times and he prays for people who have gone through the same thing that he's gone through. If you're dealing with depression in your life, you know what? You're in good company. Because there's a lot of people who have dealt with depression in their life, dealt with all kinds of issues, lost their job, been fired over and over and over. You name the list. There's people here have gone through it. And if we would just get off the church mask and stop worrying about what people think about us so that God can use us right where we are. That's what He wants. And these gifts that He has into us, grace gifts, beautiful, beautiful gifts, which are the manifestation of the Spirit. What does that mean? Verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is the visible working of the invisible Spirit through each one of us. Through each one of us. It's the visible working of the invisible Spirit. You can't see the Holy Spirit, right? Sometimes you can sense Him, you can feel Him in certain ways, but it's a beautiful thing when the Holy Spirit is made visible. It's manifested. That's what the word manifest means, to be made visible. And He's working through each one of us. Diverse, unique ways. Dare I say, strange at times. Because we are strange. And it says that it is for the common good. For the common good. And look at the diversity of those gifts. My goodness. Verse 8. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge. I mean, there's going to be times that God's going to have somebody ministering to you and they're going to read your mail. You think that you got things hidden from God and you got them hidden from one another. You got secret sin in your life and you don't think God's going to, you know, force the issue. And you're going to have somebody praying over you, and all of a sudden, God's going to give them a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, and they're going to read your mail. And they're going to call you on it. They're going to say, you know, the Lord just showed me that you're doing such and such. Ooh. You better get ready. Verse 9. To another, by the same means of the same Spirit, faith. To another, gifts of healing. Lord, do we need that? Do we need healing? By to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. The speaking forth from God to His people. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. To another, still the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Spiritual gifts are grace gifts. It's the way Jesus' grace comes out of you and me. It's His grace coming out of you and me. And so, I'm asking you, will you follow the Lord? Will you have His attitude that we need each other, we're a part of one another, we accept one another in love, as we talked about last week, we minister to each other on that foundation of love, where we're considering each other, concerned for one another, but we're expecting. We're expecting God to show up. Could you pray that with me every week? As you come to church, God, would you please show up? And I'm telling you, that's a dangerous prayer. That's a danger. You better mean it when you pray it. It's a dangerous prayer. But I long for God to show up. Have His way in our lives. Do His work. Because, you know, I can't do anything for you. Whatever gift that God has given me, I use by His grace and His strength, and I preach His Word. But, folks, I can't do anything for you. Only Jesus, by His Spirit, can do what needs to be done in us. And so, you've got to understand, we have got to understand, Jesus wants His Spirit to be foremost in our lives. Everything He does by His Spirit. He ministered in the power of the Spirit. And He wants to minister today in the power of the Spirit. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back and just close us out with that beautiful song. He loves us. He loves us. As they're coming, let me just say to each one of you, if you need to come for any reason, for prayer, if you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to make that profession of faith, I invite you to meet us up here. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Join me up here. Let's stand as we worship the Lord, singing, How He Loves Us. Amen.